everyone. This is Luke Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man show. Thank you for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Teresa Murr. All right. And she is a physical therapist, author, coach, consultant, and speaker. She teaches therapists how to build impactful group therapy treatments that improve patient outcomes, productivity, and revenue. And she's also expanded her teaching and courses in other industries to help folks enhance their skills in the areas of innovation and obviously fulfillment. So we are very lucky to have Teresa here with us today. She and her husband live in Iowa and have three grown children. She loves to cook, garden, and oil paint in her spare time. Wonderful hobbies. So we're very fortunate to have her here. She's a very busy woman, so she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. We're very blessed. So thank you for coming on. I guess to start off, could you tell us about, you know, more about your background and what first gravitated you towards doing what you do today?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for having me, Luke. It's a real pleasure to be here today and chat with you and your audience. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. And thank you.
Yes. I started 36 years ago with a career in physical therapy. And that was kind of brought about by my passions to, like, help people. And I also had a lot of interest in science. So I just paired those two things together and came up with physical therapy. And I've had a 36-year clinical career, but I always knew that there was something more for me. I just have a creative spirit. I have a spirit that says, okay, this is how you do it, but how can we do it different? And how can we, you know, make something new out of nothing, you know? So I have that spirit in me, and physical therapy is a wonderful profession, but it just didn't hold enough, creativity for me. So I always knew I would be searching for something just a little bit different. And then I started doing multidisciplinary group therapy, and I'll explain that a little bit. That is where, like, physical, occupational, and speech therapists work together with a group of people. And we bring in, like, therapeutic activities, like it might be, you know, even like games or painting or cooking or, an obstacle course. And we would just make these groups. What happens really when you set up a group like that, it takes off on its own. And, you know, you moderate it and you assist people and you help them to get the most out of it. But normally I would find out that I couldn't have done this on my own if I had tried in a million years. You know, just what comes out of, yeah, a group therapy session is it's huge and it's fun. And, you know, people even say, oh, my gosh, it was like magic. I mean, how did this happen? You know the patients did so well, and they did things that they wouldn't do normally. You know, they stretched themselves. They challenged themselves, you know. And it was wonderful. So that's what propelled me to build a framework around this. And I just held on to it for years. And I finally decided to write a book about 13 years later. And I kind of geared it towards the aging and caregivers. I wanted to start there because there's such a need right now for that. And, now I've expanded it to, I'm teaching therapists how to build these group therapy treatments and, you know, actually promote their business because you can, improve patient outcomes. You can improve your revenue and productivity, which are all very important in our field right now. So that's how I came, you know, that's kind of what gravitated me towards this was my need to do something in a creative way. And, you know, I could have stepped away from my profession, but at the same time, there's still some intrigue there, you know, that kind of pulls me back into the healthcare and the helping people and, you know, that type of thing.
Wow. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I find it very inspiring. So my understanding is you entered the physical therapy field and obviously because you wanted to help people and whatnot. It's interesting. My older sister is also a physical therapist, and my younger sister is a massage therapist. So I get how it is when you want to help people physically, particularly helping them to alleviate certain ailments they have or to fix certain situations that with their body that or things they need to improve and whatnot. So I think it's excellent work. I know that it's excellent work, and so I think what you guys do, I think for many people, you're like guardian angels. Many physical therapists get amazing results. A lot of patients come to PTs like you guys with chronic pain, and a lot of times PTs, they're able to make certain adjustments, recommend certain exercises, and the pain sort of goes away, right? Like a miracle. I think you mentioned the word magic, and then they don't have to take all these expensive pain-killing prescription drugs, right? And and if less people can use drugs like that, that's even better. So I think you guys do God's work and helping people to live their lives with increased mobility and to increase the quality of their lives. So I think that it's a wonderful profession. And you mentioned that you also have not only a generous and compassionate spirit, but a creative spirit, a restless creativity. And so you had to do something with it. And so you experimented with multidisciplinary therapy. And it seems like a lot of fun, a lot of different things going on. But you were able to get amazing results for patients, which is the most important thing when it comes to this kind of therapy. And so you decided you wanted to go further down that route, and you wrote a book as well, which is amazing. So my hat is off to you. You obviously followed your dreams, and you're also following your true calling, which is amazing. I guess for my next question, obviously, you've been helping people for a long time, but we all got hit with that, I guess that sucker punch, right? The pandemic, and kind of ruined a lot of people's plans, right? This came out of nowhere and blindsided us. I'm curious, how would you describe the current state of affairs when it comes to therapy? And obviously the business of therapy, and what challenges, if any, has the pandemic posed?
It has really posed a lot of challenges to, I think, especially the frontline workers. And it was kind of interesting. In December of 2019, I decided to step out of, I was only working like 2 days a week, but I decided to even step out of that and just go PRN, which is, as needed. And because I really wanted to focus on my business. And so, hence, 3 months later, we're into the pandemic, the isolation, the shutdown, lockdown. So they only wanted like one therapist in a building. So I started doing telehealth, which I'm actually still doing some of that out of my home, over a computer. And I am slowly getting back in. I'm doing a few hours here and there to help a company I work for. But it's definitely affected that. And then also, there was no group therapy during that time. There were no groups, and you could see the effects of social isolation, which actually social isolation leads to chronic illness. So, now we're seeing the chronic illness, the depression, the anxiety, and everything that goes along with that. And actually, in my course, I teach the benefits of group therapy. It's all research based. All the health benefits you get from just being face to face and in a group. There are so many health benefits. Even your genetic expression and the hormones that you release into your body to be healthy and loving and empathetic. And there's that weak ties, which is has proven to add longevity to your life if you have a network of weak ties. And they've done research on this. And I know you may have gotten a job from a weak tie, or me or somebody else. Yeah, or yeah, it could have even been a weak tie that had another weak tie that just gave you some information, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, it can be life-changing. And, in fact, I was just thinking of two examples the other day of, you know, a couple of weak ties that I had. And one was actually our waitress, and we have a university around us, and we always, you know, ask these young people, like, are you going to college? And, you know, a lot of times it's yes. And, you know, we are curious, and we're like, well, what are you studying? And, you know, I found out that she was studying something that I had a connection with. So I showed her the website, and I said, if you put this and this together, and if you do, this website could lead you to a new adventure, you know. Mm. And so that was just one of them. And I can't think of the other one right now, but, you know, we get valuable information from just being, you know, with people face to face. And that's what we were missing during the pandemic. We didn't have that, you know. Now, granted, we have the Zoom calls, and I actually have two good friends in Ireland right now due to, this networking that's going on. I'm in with a group from Canada, and I'm in with other groups from around the world. One comes out of Italy, and so I'm making all these great connections. But honestly, I miss the face-to-face, you know, and it's causing me some anxiety. I don't like it. I want to be back in my groups, you know. And I know the health benefits too, you know, being in those groups. So I think that's what it did for our profession, was it isolated us, and now we're trying to come back together and, you know, work together and work with the patients and get them out of their rooms and, you know, amongst people again, so they can be healthier.
Okay. Wow. And so it, obviously it has posed some challenges, particularly obviously mental health challenges that, of course, are stemming from the social isolation as a result of the pandemic. And it's interesting that we had to socially isolate for our own health, but it also was to the detriment of our health, because as human beings, we're all social animals, supposed to be around each other, so to speak, and being around each other plays an important role in longevity. They found that the longest lived people in the world, part of the reason why they live so long in these blue zones, so to speak, is because they're not socially isolated. As they get older, the family still does things with them. They're not just put in a nursing home. They have a strong social component to their lives, and that plays a major role in why they live so long. So it's sort of ironic, a contradiction, that people had to be away from each other for their own health, but it also negatively affected their health. Now, you mentioned the idea of weak ties, and I'm pretty big on that. I consider myself a super connector. Love having weak ties, love introducing people to other people and whatnot, because I know there's value that comes from that. And, you mentioned that you miss the face-to-face. There's been a lot of Zoom calls. Someone once told me that nothing could ever take the place of face-to-face communication and networking, even if things get really online and digital and virtual and whatnot. There's always going to be a place for face-to-face. You know, people desire it. People need it. And so I do believe that, and I also want to thank you for sharing intimate details about your own life and health, and saying that you experience an increase in your anxiety due to the lack of, obviously, face-to-face contact and whatnot. You know, I believe the same thing happened with me as well. I think for a lot of people, the last couple of months have been very, very, the last year has been very, very mentally trying, emotionally and psychologically trying. And, you know, I've spoken to people that have lost multiple family members to this disease. So it's just been a very hectic time, a hectic year, so to speak. So, but obviously we're getting through it, which is great. Things are opening back up, and we're beginning to do what social animals do, socialize, right? And I'm curious, as we enter this post-pandemic world, where do you see things going in the future, and where do you see your thing? Where do you see yourself in that future?
Yeah, well, I think I'm seeing now even a little bit more than I did before is, you know, like a shift of consciousness, and people are open to doing things a little bit different, and I see some good things coming, you know, from that. I just think that, yeah, how things are done are you know, different. And I think I just see some acceptance with some of that. I guess, you know, for myself, I feel like I have a bright future with, you know, bringing my message into the world. And I feel like I will be, you know, consulting and coaching and helping people through my program. It actually, I have a communication piece in there where, you know, you get to know yourself, you get to know others, you build these experiences around this information that you have, and you grow as an individual and, you know, as a group. But I think I'm going to be able to, you know, use it widely in a lot of different industries, because I think what it leads to is innovation. And I mean, this can even happen in a family. I know, like our family, we had once a son that was very into improv, and that's just kind of how our family ran. It was kind of, you know, and at the dinner table, it was kind of an improv setting, you know, where, you know, you just add your piece and, you know, again, it was kind of like building something new, you know, sometimes out of nothing, you know. And, it, you know, to me, it's interesting. It's creative. I think it's kind of how we should live. It, you know, propels us into the future and forward, you know, without, you know, like, turning back the clock, you know. It's just some, kind of something new and fresh. And I try to bring that into people's lives. Mm. So even through the group therapy, you know, and there's ways to, you know, open up your, you know, your brain. And that, it's actually like through sensory stimulation, you know, you stimulate your senses, it helps you learn better. So there's so many things you can do for your body that affect your brain. And likewise, you know, you can do for your brain that affects your body. And ultimately, I think it impacts your spirit.
Mm.
So, yeah, I it's just... That's where I think I'm going in the future, and that's where I want to go, because I think, you know, and it's fun because I've had some years of coaching, and I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of niching down on what I really, really want to do, you know, and that's an exciting time when you get there, you know. Because again, with me being creative, I mean, I have got so many programs built out. I've got so many thoughts, so many ideas, and now I have to, you know, discipline myself to get the marketing done. So, you know, that's my future.
Mm. Wow. That's amazing. And I could feel the passion in your voice, and I love speaking with passionate people. And it's interesting that obviously you found, you know, following your true calling. You know, Mark Twain once said that everyone has two birthdays in their life, the day they were born and the day they figure out why, and you know both your birthdays, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Now, you mentioned before that there's an increase in consciousness and awareness of that more people know there's a need for, when it comes to not just physical health improvement, but also mental health improvement. And so, and I think obviously you have a bright future to ride that wave, so to speak. And so my understanding is you're a coach. So are you sort of like a business coach to a therapist, but now you're expanding to other industries is my understanding, right?
Yes. There are several industries out there that I feel like I can have a, you know, a good influence on, just because of my knowledge that I've picked up, you know, the last 36 years. And I want to add that knowledge to their knowledge base so that they can be innovative and, you know, again, create something new, you know, if it's been done before, why do it again? That's my thought. Yeah.
Right. I see what you mean. So you're sort of like a business coach. to these folks, to entrepreneurs and whatnot. So I'm curious. Now, I've spoken with a lot of coaches before, and what would you say to someone who feels that they don't think coaching is necessary to pay someone to give them advice or suggestions? Maybe they could figure it out on their own or read a book and whatnot. What would you say to someone who kind of is cynical and skeptical of the whole thing and rolls their eyes at the idea of hiring a coach?
Yeah, I'm, you know, from my experience, you know, especially recently, I know I can't coach myself. You know, I know I need a coach, or I can't coach myself consistently. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the groups I was in, we always talked about, you know, it's like being in a pickle jar. You know, you can't read the label because you're in the jar. So, you know, the fact that you can't read the label, you don't know, you know, what to do next, you know, mm-hmm. You know, the details, you know. So, you know, and I feel like I'm the kind of person that is a little bit uncoachable because I have so many of my own ideas and I want to get them into the world. And sometimes I think that, you know, I have my own ideas and my own pace. And so I almost have to, you know, work with myself to say, okay, Teresa, you need to listen to them, do what they say. They're the experts. It was just like me in physical therapy. I was the expert, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the way I coached people and worked with them is, you know, I will get you to 100%. You know, my job is to analyze your body, brain, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you need. Yeah. And then pull out all the tools and strategies I have to get you to 100%, you know, get rid of your pain or rehab your total knee replacement or, you know, whatever I need to do, you know. And that's my, you know, view of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I'm looking for, is somebody to be analyzing, you know, what is she doing? Where is she going? What is her message? What is her program? And how can I get her to 100%, you know? So that's what I look for in a coach. And I know I need a coach, you know. It's just obvious when you get into the game, I think.
Okay. And that's interesting. And that you mentioned that you can't really coach yourself. And it goes back to something I tell people all the time. It's always good to have someone hold you accountable. And a coach can do that. And, you know, a book can't hold you accountable like a human being can. A magazine article, blog, or social media post can't really hold you accountable like a person. And
mm-hmm.
particularly a person who has expertise and whatnot. So I believe everyone should have a coach. Is my true belief. And this is the first time I've heard of the pickle jar analogy. I love it. I'm gonna have to steal it from you, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay you royalties, I promise. And the idea of being inside, and when you're inside, you don't have that outsider perspective to look at things from a different angle, so to speak. And so there is truth to that. And you also mentioned that you find yourself sort of uncoachable. I believe that about myself, but then you also just remind yourself that you have the expertise when it comes to physical therapy, but other people have the expertise when it comes to other areas that you're seeking coaching in. And so they know what they're doing. And I think that's so important for people to understand. And I had mentioned earlier about books, and, you know, obviously books can hold you accountable, but oftentimes people will buy books but not apply it. It you know, there's so many books out there, but no one's implementing it. And I think the missing ingredient, again, is that accountability. There's a saying called shelf help, right? And you know, a lot of people are stuck in shelf help. But a coach can literally make you, you know, get you out of analysis paralysis, get you to act and whatnot, because you don't want to let them down and whatnot. And so I definitely think there is something to coaching. I think more and more people are understanding that, and the demand and need for coaching is definitely going up. So I definitely feel that you're very well positioned for that, to ride that wave. And so I'm curious now, obviously there are so many coaches out there, and there's a low barrier to entry. You don't need to go to school, so to speak, or get a license, right, to be a business coach. And obviously you're a business coach with the expertise to coach therapists, because you are practicing physical therapists. So I'm talking about, business coaching in general. I'm curious now, since there are so many coaches out there, what competitive advantage do you have as a coach? How do you stand out?
Yeah, I would say my philosophy is when I coach somebody, I tell them, I am working for you, and my expertise is analyzing. And, again, I will analyze your body, brain, and spirit. I will know your strengths and your weaknesses, and I will know when to, kind of interject something that you need at that time, and it might be building up a strength, or it might be working on a weakness. But that's what I do. And I, just from my history of giving my patients so much of my, not only physical energy, but mental energy. And I have a lot of intention. And I mean, if intention can get you forward, you will go forward with my intention, because I intend for people to succeed. And I really embody that. And I hope that they can feel that. I want them to feel that intention for me. And I just want them to know that I'm constantly analyzing their situation, so that I can bring that, what they need to the table.
Wonderful. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think that's how I, may stand out a little bit from some.
Okay. Well, I could definitely see that. And I could feel I mentioned before, I can feel the passion in your voice, but I can also feel the compassion in your voice. And how you care a lot about the clients. It's not about just collecting a check. And so you mentioned that the intention, and I'm sure clients feel that about you, that you actually really want them to succeed. You're not just doing this for the money. You would do this for free if you wanted to. Not that you would, but this is something you derive something out of helping people, and the money's just the bonus or an add-on, so to speak. And you're constantly analyzing the situation. And of course, by doing that, you can make changes, you can make adjustments, which is, incredible and whatnot. And obviously you have that, of course, that attention to detail, that meticulousness and whatnot. So I can definitely understand why you have that competitive advantage. And I can understand why your future would definitely be bright. And of course you have more success to achieve on top of all the success you've already achieved, I'm sure. So you, of course, have helped many people throughout the course of your career. And I'm curious, can you tell us the most moving or entertaining stories from your career or life in general?
Yes. I think some of the most moving experiences I've had, with patients, is when they can overcome a disability or overcome their pain that they're feeling and just move on and have a full life. And I'd have countless examples of people doing that. But I think to me that is like the most moving experience. And just on kind of on the flip side of that, when somebody accepts their disability instead of, sometimes people will fight it, and they're angry, and they can't get over the anger, and they mm-hmm. harbor that. Yeah, and that really keeps them stuck, mm-hmm. But when somebody can accept their disability and move on in life and have a full life, that is another moving experience that you see that it really, kind of wakes you up. And, it's kind of like a lesson, that you get that it's pretty neat. Yeah. And one of the most entertaining stories was when I had a group together, it was a painting. I called it Picasso's Painting Party. Mm. And so I got this group of patients up and they were painting. And actually, we had two groups going in the same room. And I looked over at the other painting that the other therapist was doing with the patients. And they were painting this, the hill, the rolling hills and the stream and the birds and the trees and the beautiful sunset. And then I looked over the painting that my group was doing, and they painted a picture of a nude lady.
Well, my.
I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, you know, because we were talking about the cubism, but I had a couple of guys in my group that kind of gave me this snarky smile. And so I helped a lady get up, and I thought, oh, gosh, I hope somebody doesn't walk in right now. And we have a picture of a nude lady in the therapy room, and, you know, but not that it would be that big of a deal, but I helped a lady get up and paint a swimming suit on this nude
wow.
figure. And, yeah,
wow.
It just made me feel better. But
oh
that was kind of a memorable experience.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing these stories. And obviously, painting is always fun. That's why they have the little kids do the finger paints and whatnot. Doing the nude lady painting seems a little risque for whoever did that. So I don't know. That could go wrong. But obviously, they felt comfortable enough to do it in that environment. So my hats off to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As an artist, you always have to push the envelope. Once in a while, why not? And do something a little crazy. But I guess more importantly, you mentioned the first two stories, and I guess they're two different sides of the same coin, so to speak. The first one is people overcoming a difficulty or ailment or perhaps a disability and reaching full life again. And so I think, obviously, as a physical therapist, I'm sure you've done this countless times, and each and every time it never stops being rewarding and fulfilling for you and your team. And you also mentioned the idea of one accepting their disability. And it's interesting. Obviously, they're not trying to overcome their disability, but they're just accepting it. And they're still living life, and they're not angry about it. I think that's so important for people to understand. And I know it's tough because I can only imagine if I got into an accident and I was paralyzed from the neck down or the waist down, I'd be upset, very upset, right? Maybe a little depressed. But I would understand that obviously life still goes on. And as they say, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond. And so even in that trying period, I would still put a smile on my face and be happy. And, people like that are very inspiring to me, particularly people who are born with disabilities and they still live wonderful, full lives. It reminds me of a gentleman named Nick Vujicic. You may have heard of him. He's from Australia. He's a public speaker as well. And he was born without any arms or legs, right? And he tried to commit suicide at one time when he was younger, but he learned to accept his disability and he learned to enjoy his life. And he's an incredible speaker. And so I think he's married. He found a wife. And so if you haven't heard of him, definitely check him out. I've read his book, amazing individual, Nick Vujicic. And there's also a gentleman named Kyle Maynard. He was born with not full legs or full arms, but he became a high school wrestler and was really good. So stories like that always very, very much impress me and inspire me, of course. And also Christopher Reeves, I should throw him in there. He was in the first category of trying to overcome his ailment. Nothing wrong with that. But he never gave up. So definitely he's an inspiration. Now I'm curious. Now, obviously we've been having a great, inspiring conversation so far, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that obviously as a society we have social ills here or there, obviously things like racism, sexism, homophobia, and whatnot. I was curious, as a woman, have you ever faced sexism and discrimination on your journey? And if so, how are you able to overcome it and still achieve success anyway?
I can recall a time when, and this was years ago, but it really upset me, and I just didn't think it was right, but it was like, the men in the physical therapy department, it would almost be like they would go into the boardroom, shut the door, and they'd make all the decisions for us, And I didn't like that. Yeah, I thought, you know, why don't you want our opinion? We've got some great, you know, great advice and a great input, you know. And I just felt like that was, you know, that just wasn't right to me. You know, I feel like every voice, yeah, needs to be heard. And, you know, and another example I have is I was on an interview team at one time, and, you know, the people, I was actually very surprised that they said this, but they would even tell the applicants, you know, we want somebody that's just like us. We want, you know, we want this to be a good fit. And I know sometimes you do want a good fit, a good fit with an employee. But, I kind of spoke up and I said, you know, we need different, you know, what makes up a team is a team of different people. And if you want to grow, you need different ideas. You need different ways to look at projects and look at the work. And, you know, I mean, if we all look the same, act the same, talk the same, think the same, react the same, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to be a good team, you know. So those are the two things that kind of surprised me along the way. But I don't know. I just kept going forward. I kept thinking too, you know, I mean, I'm pretty strong-willed and pretty determined in my path. And so I just thought, well, this is not going to ruin my path, but I am actually going to take another job because, you know, I feel like I have stopped growing. And if they're not listening to me, I need to move on. And I need to grow. Yeah, so I did not want to stop growing, and I wouldn't have settled for that. And actually, if I hadn't left that job, I would not have developed this program that I developed. So, you know, it's okay to move on if you, you know, encounter something like that, you know. Yeah, and I didn't think I could have much of a change, but it's kind of funny that some of the ideas I had, you know, 20 years ago that were not really accepted or listened to, today they're actually mainstream ideas, you know. So, my other advice would be hang on to your thoughts and your feelings and your ideas and keep them moving and changing and growing because, you know, they're valid.
Right. Wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing these stories. I find it inspiring. You mentioned before that these things may have happened, but you mentioned the key phrase you spoke up. And you, or in some cases, you took another job or you moved on, which is amazing. You did something about it. And you also mentioned how you're strong-willed, which is so important for a woman to be in society, of course. And so definitely, I think these stories are very obviously troubling in some ways, but hopefully things are changing in American society. Now, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, we have our first woman vice president, right? I mean, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, you know, that's a pretty historic accomplishment. I believe she's the first woman and person of color to be vice president, which is amazing. And obviously there's more progress to go, of course, when it comes to women being respected and treated as equals in the workplace and in society overall and whatnot. So, again, thank you so much for sharing these stories. And I'm curious now, what advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you do, who's listening to you and says, you know, I want to be a physical therapist. I want to help out other folks who own a firm and whatnot. And you know, I want to do what Teresa's doing. What key advice and tips would you give them?
I would say to start with, make a plan, and that plan can be kind of sketchy. Doesn't have to be perfect, but get that plan in your mind of what you want to do, you know, along your career path, or even if you want to make some changes. A lot of physical therapists right now are stepping out on their own into their own businesses. They're starting even a lot of home health companies. Which is getting huge because of the baby boomers. So there's many opportunities right now. So, you know, make a plan, keep yourself educated on what's, you know, going on out there. Keep an open mind so that you can, you know, make changes as you need to. That takes creativity and flexibility. So make sure that you, you know, kind of roll with the punches and be open to different, you know, different things that are going on out there. And then I would just say, always keep your ideas on the back burner. You know, don't let them fizzle out. I know with myself, you know, and I call myself a group therapy geek because I am, you know, I mean, I really geek out on, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is just so great. It just works, you know? And so I really never lost that passion. And then I turned it, and I'm turning it into something now. So don't, you know, keep your ideas on the back burner, but keep the flame under them, you know, and keep growing as a person. And I think that actually growing as a person could, you know, hit a lot of these questions that we've talked about, a lot of these topics. If we continue to grow as people, we will be ready to take on that challenge and that adventure that is awaiting us. And, yeah, no matter what state you have in life, and I know, you know, life can be up, it can be down, it can be not fair, it can be great, it can be all over the place, you know, and especially as an entrepreneur, you do feel that. But if you continue to develop yourself as a person, you know, that you, when that opportunity comes up that is just perfect for you, you're going to be ready for it. And that is so important because you do not want to miss out. And that's me speaking as that therapist and as that coach and having that intention for you. I don't want to see you miss out on an opportunity. So I totally believe in personal development on many, many, many levels. And I think that would be my advice. And, you know, listen to your inner voice. You know, we do talk about coaches and you need that coach, but I just read a quote today and I won't be as good as you on quoting that quote, but, you know, but it came down to saying that, you know, really your best coach is your inner voice. And, you know, sometimes, gosh, I have to tell myself that. And I am making so much more progress since I'm calming down, slowing down and saying, yeah, asking myself that question first before I, you know, go watch another webinar or, you know, look at more training. I mean, I'm trained and now I just have to listen to my inner voice, you know, so that would be the advice that I would give somebody, you know, and be strong and then, you know, set your priorities, you know, so my priorities were my children, you know, and they still are. I mean, they're across the country. I have one in New York, one in Los Angeles, and one in Minneapolis. And
wow.
They're not here in Iowa, you know. But, yeah, but they were always my first love, my priority, and I would never go against that, you know. So set your priorities, know what they are, and stick to them because then you're true to yourself. And in the end, that's what's going to matter, you know, if you were true to yourself.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my advice. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And so you mentioned the idea that one should start with a plan in their mind. And it could be a sketchy plan. It's fine to begin with. Obviously, you can flesh out the details later. But to start with that plan in mind, and you also mentioned the idea that you want to keep growing. You're never going to get to a point where you know completely everything, right? Everything's always so changing and whatnot. And you mentioned the idea of listening to your inner voice, and oftentimes to find that inner voice, it may help to do meditation or whatnot, or to be in silence to understand what your gut is saying, your intuition or whatnot. They say the most successful people follow their intuition. They respect it and pay attention to it. You mentioned the idea of being strong and whatnot. And it's interesting. I didn't realize this. Obviously, with the baby boomers, they're retiring, entering old age and whatnot, that I suppose that's a wave you can ride or a trend you can take advantage of. So I guess you're in the right business, so to speak, as they get older and more frail, unfortunately, with old age, there'll be a huge need for physical therapists as we get into the future. So that's there's something there you mentioned the idea of geeking out about stuff. You know, I always tell people there's each and every person has something that they're passionate about and they know a lot about in great detail, more than the average person. And it could be sports, right? It could be, for you, it's obviously, I'm guessing, physical therapy, perhaps physical and mental health. So everyone's a sort of a nerd or geek in their own way when it comes to something, at least, I would think. And you mentioned before your children. For a lot of people, their children are their big why. It helps them motivate them to accomplish certain big tasks and whatnot. So that's something I think for a lot of people to consider, right? And so, again, thank you so much for sharing this advice and these tidbits. And now I'm curious, now looking at the other side of the table, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a coach to work with? I guess I can also say looking for a physical therapist to work with, but I'll just stick to coach. If someone's looking for a coach like yourself, they can go to you, obviously, which it would be a great decision. But let's say you're busy or you're on vacation. How should someone go about looking for the right coach for them?
I would say that, interview that coach and see, you know, what their personality is like and just how that fits with you as a person. And know that you're going to be changing during, the years that you have coaching, and that you might want to stay with one coach for a while, but be open to knowing that, you know, maybe the next coach you get will be very different from that last coach, and that's okay. And I would just say make sure it's a good fit, but, you know, somebody that will stretch you. You know, not too comfortable, you know. And you don't want to just get a person that just, you know, agrees with you. You really want a coach that can pull you into that next level, pull you, push you, and or you know, kind of lock arms and go together to this next level so that you develop yourself. I mean, it is about developing. And, you know, it's also about knowing what to do and when to do it, you know, with, you know, such like marketing and things like that. But it's also, you want to have some personal growth. So pick out somebody that can be honest and be open to that honesty and, be open to change. That's what I would look for.
Wonderful advice. This idea of holding an interview, like, holding an audition, or they say it's good to shop around, right, to find the right coach for you, who's a good fit for you. And you may end up changing that coach after a while, you mentioned. But a good coach helps to stretch you. There's someone, you mentioned pushing and pulling, but you also mentioned that this is someone that is not going to agree with you all the time, that will tell you the blunt truth, which is so important, particularly for business owners who are surrounded by employees all the time, who may be too scared to tell them the truth, or they mention the truth behind their back. But a coach doesn't have that concern, or shouldn't have that concern. You can tell them the blunt truth and has that outsider perspective because they're not in the pickle jar like you are, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Now, my understanding, you told me before that you don't just coach therapists. You coach, you're branching out to all types of industries. Business owners who may work outside of the health field, right, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. When it comes to entrepreneurialism and businesses, there's a sad fact out there that most new businesses fail within the first couple of years. There's a very high failure rate. What should entrepreneurs do in general to turn this around and whatnot?
Yeah, and, you know, I am fortunate because I have a little leeway, because I have had another job, you know, in the world of physical therapy. So my coaching and consulting business, I've had kind of the leeway to build it, maybe a little bit slower than some. But it is the truth that some people, you know, are kind of have a timeline, whereas if they don't make money, they're going to have to, you know, do something else. So what I would, after being in, you know, doing what I've done for a couple of years, I would suggest that people be very frugal, kind of bootstrap your business, do not spend a lot of extra money on things you don't need. Seriously, to begin a business, you can build it kind of on a shoestring. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be fancy until you really get some traction and get going. And then you can work on more, you know, the branding and things like that, maybe a little bit more extensive website. But there are many, which is nice right now, there are many inexpensive options. And, you know, you want to go with that because you don't want to get too far under, you know, kind of money-wise, and then end up being like, you know, stuck with a big debt that you can't get out from under. So that would be one of my ideas. You know, I am feeling so much better now that I've actually just come up with my plan, it's like my course, my concept, my product. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of finally now, after having all these products that are swimming around in my head, I've nailed it down to one product, and now I have my message. Now I have my avatar, and, that's what I would go for as a new entrepreneur, as fast as you can, because, you know, you're going to find your low-hanging fruit, and you can take advantage of that and work with those people and start making some money, because you're not going to survive if you don't make money. Mm-hmm. So, that would be one of my suggestions. And also, that kind of goes along with, and this is a saying I heard once, that confidence gives you six figures and conviction gives you seven figures.
Oh, wow.
And, And I love that, because when you become convicted with your product, your message, and your avatar, that's when you really start running with it.
Wow. I love that. And so it's interesting. You started off by saying that for your personal situation, you're fortunate that you were able to do things slowly and you still had your day job, so to speak. So helped you to kind of figure out. Oftentimes, entrepreneurs don't have these luxuries or whatnot, so it's, they're in a tougher situation, right? But you mentioned that for would-be entrepreneurs that they should bootstrap and don't spend too much money, right? Just things on a shoestring, right? And then the money they make in the beginning, they should auto obviously reinvest into their business to help it to grow. And I think that's great advice. As they say, you want to start small in the beginning and then grow. You have to crawl before you can walk. You have to walk before you can run. And before you run, you have to, you know, learn how to stand on your two feet. So important. I think a lot of business owners, they may take on too much too fast. So I think that's great advice. And I love the quote about confidence can get you six figures. Conviction can get you seven figures. I'm going to have to take that one from you as well and give you the royalties. Mm-hmm. So you know some quotes yourself. So there you go.
Love them. Yeah.
So I'm curious now. You mentioned a lot of important life lessons that you've learned yourself or for others along the way, particularly when you answered the question about what advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you do. I know this might be a bit of a stretch now because you've provided so much wisdom so far. But in addition to what you've told us and shared with us, what other important life lessons have you learned yourself or from others that you'd love to tell us about?
I think that before you can believe in yourself, you have to get over yourself. And I think I had a kind of a difficult time doing that. I'm an introvert. I've always been uncomfortable around, maybe a lot of attention or, that's just my personality. And I've always been self-conscious. And so I have had to, learn. And I can't believe, you know, I feel like, gosh, by now I should be over this, you know. But, you know, and I feel, yeah, like some of this might be because I did something for so long, which was, you know, my physical therapy job. I did it for so long knowing that it really wasn't a perfect fit. It was a good fit, but maybe not perfect. And maybe that's where I kind of stunted some of my personal growth. And that kept me in that position of being, you know, kind of self-conscious. And now I feel like I'm so much more comfortable with myself because I found, you know, something to do that really, really resonates with me. Yeah. And so I had to get over myself. And once I got over myself a little bit more, now I can believe in myself. So, and yeah, and if you don't believe in yourself, no one's going to buy from you, you know? Yeah. So I think that we do, we need to know that we're, you know, we're okay. We have everything in us. We need to succeed. And again, listen to that inner voice and ask yourself for the answer. Believe in yourself enough to ask yourself for the answer and then do it. You know, take your own advice. And I think that will propel you forward into, you know, into your entrepreneurship and into your business. And today is a great day to be an entrepreneur. You know, there's so many resources out there and things, you know, that will help you. And I know there's getting to be more and more competition also. But I think it's a great day to be an entrepreneur, and I think that's one of the ways, you know, ways to work on that.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that, 110%. It's a great day to be an entrepreneur, particularly, obviously, with the rise of the Internet. There's so many opportunities available for one if they wanted to go into business for themselves as a freelancer or whatnot. So absolutely agree with you on that. And so many coaches like yourself, great coaches that are available for one, two. So you mentioned the idea that it's important for people to have that self-belief, to believe in themselves, to believe in yourself. You have to overcome yourself. You mentioned before being an introvert and self-conscious. I want to thank you for sharing these intimate details. Thank you so much for that. And I'm sure this will help others who are listening to you. You know, I'm an introvert myself, and I may have some of the same similar issues that you do in terms of, you know, it's so important to trust yourself, particularly if you're going to be an entrepreneur. You have to have that confidence and that self-belief. And because if you don't, it's highly likely you'll quit, right? And so that's why so many entrepreneurs tend to be very confident, tend to have those type A personalities. But you don't need to have that kind of personality to make it as an entrepreneur. You certainly don't have to. And so, definitely, I think that's amazing advice you've given. Thank you so much for sharing it. This idea that you have to find the courage within you, to find the self-belief within you is so, so very important. I'm curious now, what book recommendations would you make for folks? And this could be on any subject.
Yeah, I think I just have more of a general feeling for books because right now I'm reading a couple. I think one is Blink, and it's by the same author. I think Malcolm Gladwell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just recently bought two of his books. I had read Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I had read that, you know, years ago when I did another entrepreneurial business, but I got that book back out, and it's amazing how it just speaks to me different now. I understand things better, you know. So I guess with your books, I would get several different varieties of books and then just use those as almost as references. I rarely sit down and read a whole book. I'll read bits and pieces, and a lot of times I think, okay, I've read this before. I know this. And again, I'm going to my inner voice saying, okay, Teresa, you know this. You don't need to reread it. You know, read something new. And I think personally, I would say if you want to read a book, read something that makes you feel good, like a feel-good story. Like I know you were talking about those people, those inspirational people, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that does a lot for our spirit if we read those books that really lift us up and keep us going and keep our spirits, you know, really alive. And as far as the other ones, I think they're good, but then again, I feel like sometimes we read the same material over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So that would just be kind of a general recommendation on books.
Wonderful.
And then
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry, oh, there's a no, that's fine. No, I was going to say there's always my book. You know, I wrote The Art of Assisting Aging Parents. And so if you're in that category where you're helping your parents out, or even if your parents are in their middle years and you know you'll be helping take care of them in the future, this is a great book to get started on some healthy lifestyle strategies. And I have my 4-step method where, you know, it's just a personal development method, and you get to put all these lifestyle strategies into a kind of a formula that you can use every day. So I would recommend my book.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely going to check out your book, The Art of Assisting Aging Parents. It's interesting. Both of my parents are older than 70, and they are getting up there and having the health issues, unfortunately. And so that's a book that I definitely, again, will check out. And I think a lot of people are dealing with this sort of situation. And it's tough and it's hard. You know, it's interesting how parents, they take care of you when you're young, and you have to take care of them when they get old, right? It's an interesting dynamic, but I guess it's the circle of life, or the way things go, so to speak, throughout time. It's been that way. And so it's interesting. You mentioned Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. Love Malcolm Gladwell. I read my favorite book by him I think it's one of the few books I've read by him so far. Outliers, love that book. And so he's an incredible writer. Napoleon Hill, again, excellent. Think and Grow Rich and whatnot. And you mentioned the idea of rereading books. I truly believe you haven't really read a book until you've read it at least a second or third time. So I think there's a lot of, obviously even if when you highlight certain stuff in a book, you can get to read the highlights and it helps to summarize. But there's a lot of truth in that. Rereading is so important. And you mentioned feel-good stories. It's so important to be inspired by these feel-good stories. And I'm sure you've helped to create a lot of these feel-good stories as a physical therapist, helping people to overcome serious ailments, serious issues, or helping people to accept their ailments and whatnot. So I'm sure you could write a book solely on the stories of helping patients, of course. I think that would be amazing. And I'm curious, now obviously you've written a book already, and I'm definitely going to check out. Are you ever going to write another book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a couple kind of brewing in my head. One would be a business book, and one would be possibly a spiritual book. So I kind of have some ideas. I don't know when I'll get to it, but it might be one of those things that I just sit down some weekend and just, you know, write it all out.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, definitely keep me posted. You can always write a just throwing out suggestions. Write a book about your life or about patients' stories. You know, but obviously doing a spiritual book, a business book, I think those are incredible subjects that you're very knowledgeable about. So definitely. And when you do write those books, again, keep me posted. I'll definitely check them out. And I guess that brings me to my next question. Will you ever create or start your own podcast? I think you'd be great as a podcaster.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That idea is brewing in my head, and I'm just kind of waiting for the time when I'm ready. I feel like this isn't the right time, but definitely I feel like it could be a part of my future. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent. So you're very creative. You have a lot of stuff brewing, which is amazing, of course.
Yeah.
And so definitely, obviously this conversation has been very enlightening, very educational, very inspiring. Thank you so much for coming on as a guest. And so can you go ahead and describe all the ways that people can reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, sure. And thank you, Luke, for having me. It's just been a real pleasure to chat with you. But you can get a hold of me at teresamurr.com. And my first name, I'll just spell it, is T-E-R-E-S-A. And my last name is M-O-E-R-E-R. And you can get a hold of me there. My email is on that site. You can set up I do free 20-minute strategy calls with people. It's like elite coaching so that they know if they have an issue, you know, with caregiving or their business or if they want some ideas for innovation. I spend a little bit of time with them on that. So, just my website has everything, you know, and I have a couple courses in my store. If you're struggling with aging parents, I have a course. I basically just teach my book. So, it's all on my website. Yeah.
Wonderful. So the website is key. Again, that's teresamurr.com. And the email could be found on the website as well. Okay, so the website, the email, and people can do that free 20-minute strategy session. The information you just provided will be available in the episode description area, so people will be able to see it and read it there. Okay, so again, thank you so much for sharing those details. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and also want to thank the audience for listening. Do you want to leave us with a last word or final send-off?
One thing I like to tell people is just start now. I teach, you know, the health strategies and such, and there's never a better time to start than now.
Thank you so much for that. And again, it was an honor to have you on the show. Definitely, it's been a pleasure as well for me too.
And thank you so much.
You got it. And thank you. And I also want to thank the audience for listening to this wonderful discussion. And I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone have a wonderful and blessed day. Thank you so much. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcast app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us, so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.